Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
The auctioneers and valuers and the property owners' representative groups have come together to present a pre-budget submission to stem the exit of private landlords from the market. Recent data from the Residential Tenancies Board revealed that the number of notices of termination or evictions has spiralled. Last year, they received 1,845 in the last half of the year. While the amount received in the first half of this year was 2,913. Today, the IPAV and the IPOA are proposing new lower tax rates for landlords, along with changes to capital acquisitions tax and also a loosening of rent pressure zone rules as well. But will it work? Will it entice landlords to stay in the market? And is that what we want for the rental market in general as well? For more on this, I'm joined by Mary Conway, who's the chair of the Irish Property Owners Association. Mary, you're very welcome to the programme. What is the, in terms of priority, what should be done? What needs to be done to keep landlords, do you think?
I think, you know, the government policy was to professionalise the sector by bringing in professional landlords. And in doing so, they've discriminated against the traditional landlords. And really, it hasn't worked. And what's happening is there's a diversity of stock needed, family units, single units, and the big residential companies aren't providing this. So our members are leaving the market, and what can we do to stop them, and what can we do to attract new landlords in?
Okay, so the big investors, they have a tax rate of 25%, but the average Joe or Josephine who might have a second or third property, they pay more, and you say they should also have the 25% tax rate, is that right?
I'm saying that we all should pay tax. The residential investment trusts aren't subject to tax on an annual basis like the traditional landlord. They have an obligation to their shareholders on withholding tax, but they don't actually pay tax to the Irish Exchequer. So our members have voted with their feet in a lot of cases, and the reasons that they have left is over-regulation and over-taxation.
Okay, in terms of the rent pressure zones, what are you saying there?
Yeah. Well, we're saying that it really hasn't worked because it's creating a two-tier rental market, and it stops rents from falling as when there's rents rising beyond limits set, and that if a landlord sells a property at a low market rent, probably because they've had a tenant there maybe for 10 years, the new landlord coming in, no new landlord wants to come in and buy it because they're stuck with the landlord, the previous landlord's rent.
Has it really stopped rents from falling? I mean, this market, the only way rent is going, and this is reported year on year, is up. Maybe it's saved enough
out of
tenants.
The only way it's going up, it's not actually because we're all stuck on rent pressure zones at 2%. We can only put up a rent by 2%. It's the new landlords coming in, the new residential trusts that are coming in with the high rents. It's not the traditional landlords because we're stuck with 2%.
But the point is you want rid of the rent pressure zones so you can increase rent more. Is that right?
No, what we're saying is that if a tenant is there long term and a landlord wants to re-rent after they've left, they should be allowed to charge market rent. Or if a property comes to market, that a landlord should be incentivized to buy the property by being able to change it to market rent. I spoke to a landlord today. He purchased a property recently and the rent was €700 per month on it. It's a substantial property. The going rate in the area is about
£2,500. Yeah. So what would happen there
doing
if you had,
and
what happened
it on
there if you had your way, and if you want, if you had the rules around rent pressure zones loosened, that would be instead of 700, 2,000 or 2,500.
Well, his mortgage is going to be in around 1,500, and he's going to have to pay substantial insurance and everything else. He's really not making any profit on it. He's just about breaking even.
Mm-hmm. I understand the point.
It's not realistic. Yeah. A 700 a month is not a realistic rent for a three-bed house in a North Dublin suburb.
And you're also looking for changes to capital acquisitions tax as well.
Yes. What's happening with some of our older members that, you know, would have accumulated properties over the years and they want to leave them to their families, and the families are selling them on because they can't afford the tax, that the inheritance tax they would have to pay. So what we're saying, could it be treated like farming, where if you're leaving a farm or a business to a family member, that you would pay a different rate of tax to what landlords are paying on handing down their properties. Mm-hmm. So that it would be treated as a business rather than, like another business.
Yeah, I understand. So can I put this to you finally, that if the government were to accede to your points here around the pressure zones and capital acquisitions tax and the new lower rate of tax for traditional landlords, if we can call them that, that it might, Mary, make the market more enticing for landlords, but it would crucify renters.
Not necessarily. I mean, the failure really in all of this is the government in building housing, particularly social housing, over the last few years. I think there's something like 75,000 new units coming on stream in Dublin on a rent-to-rent basis. And really, that's not the solution to anything, because, again, it's going to be, elite properties in elite areas for elite tenants, whereas the traditional landlord has provided homes all around the country, up a Boreen in Cork, somewhere, in the West,
For their single own benefit, units. Though, I mean, they're not doing this altruistically. I mean, Threshold as well said that 60% of rent increases were invalid. And that's a matter for the
RTB to determine.
Yeah, they're not the new institutional investors, are they? They would be traditional, mostly renters.
But maybe if we had the rent pressure zone sorted out, that people wouldn't resort to these kinds of tactics.
But sorted out means higher rents.
But this is a business like any other business. You know, if you set up a shop, you expect that you're going to make some kind of a profit. Our landlords expect it to make nothing.
But this is a home for many people, Mary.
It is a home for many people, yes, but it's also a business for a landlord.
But I mean...
And a lot of our landlords have bought this as a pension for later on, because they don't trust the state pension.
But what is a family to do then? Just because a market is dysfunctional, and I accept the points you make about institutional investors, but are we to change the rules so so-called traditional landlords can turn around and match market rents, even though they're crazy? I mean, is that what you're proposing?
No, and what has happened over the last number of years is that the rental market has completely changed. Traditionally, the rental market would have been transient for people that were moving on from student accommodation to something a bit more salubrious, to their own family home. And what's happened is, because of rising house prices, people haven't been able to move. So people have been stuck in rental accommodation, and social tenants have been stuck in private accommodation that would normally have got social housing. So the whole market is dysfunctional and it's completely stuck. And what needs to happen is there needs to be more social housing to be built.
Well, absolutely. But what happens in other countries in the rental market?
Free up the private rental sector.
But what happens in other countries in the rental market, if we're to do this as a business, as you say, is that the investor, the traditional landlord, gets a guaranteed return on investment, but it would be modest, of 2 or 3%. But what you're asking for is the allowance or the flexibility to get way more than that. And that puts the point I'm making to you, that puts families at risk of homelessness in the current market.
No landlord sets out to make anybody homeless. There are lots of reasons landlords are leaving the market. Some of them are in trouble with the banks. There's lots of other reasons. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to make a family homeless today. Like, you know, it's just a completely dysfunctional housing market. The students are coming back. There's nowhere for the students to live. I'm getting calls from all over the country and from different parts of the world. You had my son before. You had my daughter before.
Yeah.
I can't send them to college because I've nowhere for them to live.
Okay.
So the whole market, we need small landlords in the market.
Okay. I hear the points you make, and I do understand why you're making them from your perspective. Mary Conway, Chair of the IPOA, thank you very much indeed for joining us.